Welcome to session one of our seminar entitled Christian Decision Making. In this seminar, we intend to look at a number of biblical guidelines for helping us make good decisions. We all have decisions to make, big ones and small ones. And all through life, we have to make these big and small decisions. Big decisions such as, should I go to college? And where should I go to college? What line of work or career should I pursue? Should I get married? And who should I marry? Should we have a family? And how many children should we have? Where should we live? And what church should we attend? Should we send our children to public schools, Christian schools, or should we homeschool our children? Should I change jobs or go as far as I can with this job or business? When and where should I retire? What is the best thing to do about our aging parents as to location and finances and timing? And there are the big decisions that must be made when a life-threatening illness strikes. And of course, end-of-life decisions. On and on we could go with major decisions in life. And then there are the medium-sized decisions that we make every year, such as, should we go on vacation this year? In view of costs and travel and family dynamics, et cetera, et cetera. How committed should I be this year to my church fellowship small group? Can we afford to get a new car this year, or should we wait another year? What kind of regulations are we going to have with our teenagers as to TV programs and movies and dating and curfew, et cetera, et cetera? When do we make our teenagers make their own decisions? And what about family devotions? Topic, format, scheduling, and faithfulness all involve decision making. And then there are the small decisions that we make every day, most of them automatically. What should I wear today? What should I eat for lunch today? Should I stop at Starbucks after work or go straight home? Should I go in the front door or the back door of my house when I get home? Now that's silly, you say. I agree, but wait a minute. Is it not true that your decision to stop or not stop at a coffee shop on the way home, or your decision to go in the front door or the back door of your house, could affect the rest of your life? Is that not true? Suppose you had a serious accident because you either stopped or did not stop for coffee. Or suppose by going around to your back door, you tripped and had a serious fall, or because you came in the back door instead of the front door, you turned on the small TV in your kitchen instead of the living room TV, and the kitchen TV just happened to be tuned to a program that you never would have turned on your living room TV, and this program just happened to trigger something in your decision-making process about how to invest your money. And as a result, you either became a very rich person with a good investment or a very poor person with a bad investment. On the other hand, you could have stopped for coffee and met a person that you led to the Lord, or a person that led you away from the Lord. On and on we could go. Many more scenarios could be given, but I think you can see that decision-making is an important part of life, and even the very small decisions that we make can greatly affect our lives. So how do we make the right decisions? Well, that's what this seminar is all about, and you probably have more questions now than when we started a few minutes ago, but we hope that many of these questions will be answered as we work our way through this seminar. Now, by way of further introduction, let me mention a book that I read some years ago that got me thinking about this important topic and laid the groundwork for this seminar. It was back in 1980. Let me begin by saying that in the year 1980, several significant events took place that we could say were heard around the world. In February of 1980, in the world of sports, there was the Miracle on Ice when the U.S. Olympic hockey team defeated the professional Soviet team. In May of 1980, there was the eruption of Mount St. Helens, a significant geological event from which much has been learned in the area of geology. In November of 1980, in the world of politics, Ronald Reagan was elected President of the United States with significant worldwide effects. And in the theological world, A significant event took place in 1980, which in many ways has been just as earth-shaking in its effects as the eruption of Mount St. Helens. Pardon the pun. It was the writing of this book that I'm holding up, Decision Making and the Will of God by Gary Friesen, published by Multnomah Press of Portland, Oregon. Ironically, this earth-shaking event in the area of theology took place in the same general location as the earth-shaking event in the area of geology, namely in the Portland, Oregon area. So what was so earth-shaking about the publication of this book? Well, some would argue about how earth-shaking it was, but it certainly rocked the boat in the evangelical world at that time. Notice that the subtitle of the book is A Biblical Alternative to the Traditional View. Now, the traditional view is the view held and promoted by the Campus Crusade for Christ organization and essentially held to by most evangelical Christians. That is, God loves you and has a plan for your life, and that plan is detailed and can be known step by step as you walk with the Lord in obedience to his word. God knows whether or not you should go to college and what college or university would be most helpful to you. And God knows whether or not you should be married and who you should marry. And God knows what job and what location and what church is best for you, et cetera, et cetera. And you can find out and follow God's plan for your life if you trust him and use the means that he has given us. That is his word, the guidance from the Holy Spirit, the counsel of other believers, and circumstances, the so-called open doors and closed doors. That's basically the traditional view of knowing and following God's will for your life. So then along comes Gary Friesen with this book promoting a biblical alternative to the traditional view. So what's the alternative view? It's the idea that God only gives us general moral guidelines in his word for making good and right decisions. If you're going to get married, marry a Christian, because that clearly is a biblical moral guideline. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. But don't expect God to guide you to that special, divinely chosen, perfect wife or husband just for you. Just use your God-given common sense when you're making decisions in this area. And when you're deciding on a job or career, choose one where you can glorify God and not compromise biblical principles. But don't expect God to send you a special message from heaven indicating exactly what line of work and what career and what job location, etc., you should choose. Again, just use your common sense and choose the job you want. And if you're interested in serving the Lord on the foreign mission field, that's good, because we have the biblical command and guideline of the Great Commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. But use your common sense as to where you should serve. Don't spend a long time in prayer over whether God wants you in South America or Africa. Go either place. Wherever you decide is best, go and give yourself 100% to the work of the Lord. Don't spend your time in prayer asking God to send you an email or phone call or text message saying Africa or South America, but spend your time in prayer asking God to prepare your heart and give you the strength to serve the Lord with full dedication and commitment. Where you serve is not the important item. Now, in his book, Decision Making and the Will of God, Gary Friesen had a number of helpful diagrams to illustrate the different views. The traditional view was illustrated by a circle with a dot or bullseye in the center. See figure one. In other words, the dot represents being in the center of God's moral will, and the Lord will guide you to the dot, whether it be college, marriage, job, location, church, area of service, or any other decision you need to make. The alternative view was illustrated not by a dot, but by a dotted line circle within the larger circle of God's moral will. See figure two. In other words, God gives us an area of freedom within his moral will. Don't be looking for some blueprint or roadmap from heaven guiding you to all the dots in the decisions you must make. No. Use your God-given common sense and the general moral guidelines God has given us in his word and make your choices. That's all God expects you to do in decision-making, according to Gary Friesen and those who hold this view, the alternative view to the traditional view. Well, you can imagine that there were all kinds of reaction in the evangelical community when this book was published. Campus Crusade and Christians holding the traditional view had problems with this alternative view, and still do. Why, even a non-Christian can follow the general moral guidelines of the Bible. Doesn't the Lord give the committed Christian more than just general guidelines for making decisions? And doesn't Scripture indicate that God will guide us more specifically than just general moral guidelines? What about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, for example? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And what about Psalm 32, verse 8? I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. That sounds like more than just general guidelines, doesn't it? And Psalm 23, verse 3 says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Doesn't a shepherd lead his flock in the paths that he has specifically chosen? Can we not apply the promise that God made to Israel in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 to ourselves? I'm reading Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 21, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Yes, in context, given to Israel, but can it not be applied to us as the Lord's people today? And what about Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11? Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arms, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. That sounds like more guidance than just being released into a field of general guidelines, does it not? And if I ask the Lord for wisdom for the decisions I need to make, as James 1:5 says, will he not give me more than just general guidelines? James 1:5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. James 1:5. And what about Jeremiah 29:11? Again, this is written to Israel, but can it not be applied to ourselves as the Lord's people today? This is a well-known scripture, right? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. In the context, this was given to the children of Israel, God's people, when they were in their Babylonian captivity. But can it not be applied to God's people today? Can I not apply that in my own life when I'm looking for specific guidance in decision making? Listen, if the Lord knows the details of every sparrow that falls and knows the details about the number of hairs on my head, Matthew chapter 10, verses 29 through 31, does he not know all the details about what college I should attend and who I should marry and what and where is the right job for me and best church for our family and when I should make a move, et cetera, et cetera? Of course God knows these details. Can the Lord not specifically guide me in these matters, right down to the dot? Of course he can. So the traditional view has a lot going for it, according to Scripture. But now I think we can also see certain problems that confront us when we take the traditional view. And this is essentially why Gary Friesen wrote this book. This dot or bullseye view can lead to immaturity and indecision and even immobilization. Where do I draw the line between big decisions and small decisions? After all, we've seen that small decisions can have big effects, even for life. Do I pray for guidance as to whether I should go in the front door or back door of my home, or whether I should stop for coffee after work, or what shirt or jacket I should wear each day? After all, details count when you want the dots, that is God's perfect will for your life in every area of your life, and God knows all the details because he is sovereign. Can he not reveal the dots? So what's the answer here anyway? Which view is the correct view, or is neither view the correct view? Does it make a difference which view you take? Does it make a difference for the big decisions in life, but not for the small decisions? Well, that's what this seminar is all about. And we hope to give some answers as we think through these questions. Now, the outline that we will follow in this seminar is seen in Figure 3 and is as follows. The will of God and making decisions. Roman number 1, introduction. Roman numeral 2, concepts for understanding God's will. Roman numeral 3, means for directing our path. Roman numeral 4, guidelines for making right decisions. And Roman numeral 5, conclusion. We've just completed Roman numeral 1, the introduction. We will discuss Roman numeral 2, concepts for understanding God's will, in our next session.